Back together again, you and I chatting it up on Thursday, October 12th, 2023 on Connecticut Today, where we discuss the current increasing conflict between Israel and Hamas with State Department veteran Dr. Howard Stouffer, currently teaching at the University of New Haven. And of course, only in Bridgeport, blogger Lenny Grimaldi stopped by again to chat about the latest legal developments in the ongoing Bridgeport absentee ballot case.
You're listening to Connecticut Today with Paul Pacelli on WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
All right, as you and I try and figure out what is next here in the Middle East between Israel, Hamas, and Hezbollah, let's turn to one of the experts I love to speak with on issues like this. He's currently a professor of national security at the University of New Haven, a 25-year veteran of the State Department. He served in the Middle East back in the 1980s. He's also lived in Moscow, Tel Aviv, Beijing, Oslo, Norway, and Geneva for nuclear negotiations. And he was at the U.S. mission to the U.N. before joining the Secretariat for 8 years. In 2005, Dr. Howard Stouffer on the line. Dr. Stouffer, it's Paul here once again. Good afternoon. How are you?
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's great to have you on, Dr. Stouffer, and I know your mind must just be full of what's going on here. Before we get to the minutiae of this, give me your broad view of this. Are you surprised, A, this happened, and to the level that we've seen the ghastliness of this so far?
No, absolutely. The brutality is descending into the 13th century, whatever. And, you know, they're using tactics, as a number of people have said, Netanyahu, the prime minister, and our own secretary of state, that these are tactics ISIS is using to destroy children, grandmothers, women, pregnant women, everybody. It was just brutal and totally unexpected, totally surprised.
So, you know, the million-dollar question here, Dr. Stouffer, is simple. Why? I mean, did they not know and expect the response that Israel is getting ready for? I mean, was this a national suicide mission? What's up with this?
Well, I think the Israelis were very negligent. There are reports coming out now that, you know, troops had been moved from southern Israel along the border with Gaza and moved to the West Bank, because the Israeli government now has a coalition that's made up with some settler groups that gave him the majority to take over and be prime minister. They also were sitting, they were not vigilant when they had these automated systems that were watching, and cameras and automatic movement systems, and Hamas used drones to destroy those and then bulldoze through the fence. The fence collapsed unexpectedly with great ease. And of course, this has been planned for months. This particular operation is highly complex, highly sophisticated, and it had been planned for a very long time. And they must have been using either telegram type communications where it's encrypted from end to end, and no one's really sure if the Americans or the Israelis can unencrypt those kind of communications. Or they might have been using communications that were just written by courier to courier, and you can't intercept that. And of course, you know, the negotiations with through the United States to get Saudi Arabia to have normal relations with Israel and basically leave out the Palestinians. Netanyahu was saying, well, they're just a sideshow now. They're not important. I mean, all of these factors came together and just indicated that now was the time to strike, and to strike with this kind of ferocity. Of course, it's a suicide mission. Knowing that they went into Israel and did this with 1,500, 1,600 of their Nakba brigades, these are highly trained troops that they've been training for years to be able to fight the Israelis. They went in and butchered as many people and killed as many Israelis, that, for that matter, and foreigners that they could. And they must have known that there was going to be a horrific response from Israel, and actually existential response. And what's going on now, with no food, no water, no electricity, no fuel, is now reaching a crisis stage in Gaza. And the question will really be, will they give up the hostages? The Israeli Minister of Energy said, give up the hostages, we'll give you back water, food, and fuel. And if you don't, then we can't do anything for you. This is before an invasion takes place.
Yeah, so I was just about going to bring that up with you, Dr. Stouffer. So from a tactical point of view, you're not surprised. The Israelis holding back a little bit, saying, hey, give us who you have, and then we will allow the basics of life in. What do you think? Will they do this or not, the Hamas rulers?
No, they won't do that. There was a Hamas representative who was just on Russian TV a couple of hours ago, and basically he is up the ante by saying not only has this been an ongoing threat, and the outdoor prison that they describe Gaza as, mainly because Gaza leadership has said, we want all of Israel, we'll never accept peace with Israel, no matter what is done. But on top of that, this representative is now saying the Americans have to release all of their Hamas prisoners in American prisons who have been, of course, given fair trials and, found guilty by either judges or juries, and they must be released in order to get the Americans released who are being held hostage now. So this is going in circles. It's not going to get much better. But there are some negotiations underway. The U.S. is talking to Qatar, which has provided $30 million a month to the Hamas leaders for the last 10 or 15 years. That's given them tremendous resources to buy weapons, to buy much more powerful explosives for their rockets, to train effectively. And now Qatar is trying to tell Hamas, release your hostages to take care of your people. And, of course, they're also talking to the United States, because the United States just asked Qatar to hold that $6 billion, which has been raised by the Republicans, saying, oh, now you've given them all the resources the Iranians need. Well, that money is being held in an account, and the Qataris who have that money now say, we're not releasing it to anybody. We're holding on to it. And finally, there is negotiations underway with Egypt to let out the hostages, American hostages, through the Rafah exit into Egypt, because that's one part of the border with Gaza. All the rest are in Israel or the ocean, and try to get some Palestinians allowed into Egypt, and to try to get supplies that are being provided by Jordan and other countries into El Arish, which is a major town in the northern part of Sinai, and then let those supplies go in. But none of that's going to happen until, you know, something changes on the Hamas side, because, you know, they're really reaching the end of the line now in terms of what people can endure from this siege.
Yeah, and we're reading about the massing, Dr. Stouffer, of what, 200,000-300,000 Israeli troops on the border there, and that could, for the people of Gaza who probably wanted, many of them, nothing to do with this, this isn't going to end well.
No. It's not going to end well for them. They're the victims. They're the victims of a leadership that are dictatorial and basically decide whatever they want to decide and don't give the people of that area the right to have an election. The last election there was in 2007, and there hasn't been a change since that time. Just as in the West Bank, Abbas has been elected in 2005. No election has occurred there since that time. So they just get elected and they stay for life. And no matter what decisions they make, the people of Gaza suffer, and mainly it's children. You know, 50% of the population is under the age of 30, and something like 30% to 40% of the casualties now are children. And, you know, no one wants that. That's not the intent of anybody, but that's what's the effect when you have to take out what the Israelis are bombing, are the stockpiles, the places where rockets have been fired, where the leadership is located, and other targets that are appropriate targets. And the Israelis say they're following the rules of law by telling people, you know, there'll be a bombing here in 5 minutes, get out. And so they are giving them notice that there is going to be a particular strike in a particular place in Gaza for the over 2,000 sorties that have taken place so far.
And Dr. Stouffer, final question today with you. Iran, they say, hey, don't look at us. We had no idea. I read a report a couple of minutes ago before you came on. They are insisting that they had no idea this was happening and they didn't help. You buy that or not?
Well, I don't buy that. But, you know, Secretary of State Blinken said, you know, there's no evidence from American intelligence agencies, and he sees it all, that there's hard evidence that they've helped them. But there's no doubt that they helped them organize. They helped them, you know, plan. They helped them, you know, figure out where to get the right missiles, to get the explosives. Even if they weren't directly engaged in pulling this all together, they certainly have been very much, you know, planning. The idea was that they would have these, you know, death squads run through the gates, start killing as many Israelis as they can. There was evidence that they were planning to stay longer than anybody imagined because they had anti-tank fixtures that they were going to put into roads so they can, like, basically hold out against the Israeli army. And then they were hoping that they would call up, you know, other parts of the Shia world, to have the Hezbollah start raining rockets down on Israel, that the Iranians in Syria would start attacking the Golan, and, you know, then there would be a general war against Israel. They were hoping for that, and that didn't happen. So it's gone against the plan. It's gone against what the Iranians have been thinking about. But sooner or later, we're going to have to confront the Iranians. We, the United States, and other countries will have to confront the Iranians and have, hold them accountable for all of this.
Yeah, and if I can ask one more thing, yeah, do you see, I mean, any way that if Israel pounds Gaza the way they think we will, does Iran get involved militarily or in the Straits of Hormuz or anything?
Let me just put it this way. We have sent a strike force, the Gerald Ford aircraft carrier, plus cruise missile ships, plus destroyers with missiles on it, plus an intelligence apparatus that even the Israelis don't have. And the UK is sending ships and armadas into the eastern Mediterranean. And we also have, military vessels in the Straits of Hormuz. If the Iranians are foolish enough to attack and start a war with Israel or with the United States, we have the ability to basically destroy them on their western coast. The Al-Quds forces are all along the Iranian western coast with the Straits of Hormuz, and they will be destroyed within a very, very short period of time, the way we saw the United States destroy Saddam Hussein's Iraq in 2003.
As always, Dr. Howard Stouffer, University of New Haven, vast knowledge base. We thank you, sir, and we'll undoubtedly talk to you in the days to come. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
You're listening to Connecticut Today with Paul Pizzelli on WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
All right, fourth quarter, here we go. We'll get back to open phones momentarily. And when we do that, 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. Back with us after a week off the website, the blog, onlyinbridgeport.com. It never, ever fails to entertain. Neither does the city. And here is Lenny Grimaldi. Lenny, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Good afternoon, Uncle Paulie. I say Nikki Haley with a shot of Bailey.
I tell you, Lenny, I mean, she, you know, listen, it remains to be seen. But, yeah, she's equating herself well. We'll get to that in a moment. And your former boss, too.
Sure.
Can never skip that. New movement here? What's new? Where are we moving to? What's the new movement, Lenny? First, before we go into the court situation, what's on with that?
Yeah, I always thought that Joe Gannon would have two lines in the general election, which is going forward on November 7th. But there was a ruling by the Secretary of State that Gannon, as the primary winner, for now anyway, will only be on the Democratic Party line in the general election and not the New Movement Party, because that particular party doesn't have the authority to double endorse. Now, it's not over with the New Movement. Let's suppose, for instance, let general election goes forward, which it will. You know, Gannon's declared the winner, mm-hmm. and then, you know, Judge Clark says, hey, I'm throwing this primary out, then it has to be another primary. Now, if there's a redo and John Gomes wins that primary, then Joe Gannon would be on the New Movement Party line for that general election. I know, it's confusing. I know.
So this is basically a standby for the mayor.
Correct. Yes, it's exactly right. It's exactly a standby. So, you know, listen, so there's going to be a general election November 7th. John Gomes will be on the Bridgeport Independent Party line. There'll be Lamon Daniels as the petitioning candidate, and poor David Hurst, who's stuck in Israel,
yeah,
on the Republican line, right? So there'll be a fuller field, but if Gomes wins the general election November 7th, it's over, right? He's going to be the mayor. If Gannon wins the general election, we're going to wait the ruling on this judge. Mm-hmm. The testimony began today in Gomes's court challenge of Joe Ganim's 251 vote primary win.
Lenny, were you able to glean anything? I know that it was streamed on a couple of media outlets, but have you heard from anybody, your sources, what the judge was saying here, what the back and forth was between attorneys and witnesses? What can you tell us about the initial sense you got from this, if anything?
No, I did. So I watched a good hour of the streaming today. Mm-hmm. And so basically, you know, all the good stuff hasn't been entered yet. All today was you're laying groundwork. So lawyers were just laying the groundwork for you know, how does someone take out absentee ballots? And what is that process? And so Judge Clark ultimately is going to have to determine, was the chain of custody broken in some way that would alter the outcome of the primary? And so a lot of this is just laying the groundwork. It's all logistics. It's all process. And so you had, you know, a couple of different elections officials on the stand today. It took up most of the day. It's mm-hmm. going to continue tomorrow. You know, I think they're going to be probably tomorrow calling up some witnesses who are central to the Gomes campaign's allegations. Don't be surprised if there's people that are going to take the stand and plead the fifth. Yeah, they don't want to open them. But don't forget, the backdrop of this is a criminal investigation. So they don't want to go on there and do anything that is going to provide some fire for an investigation. So I don't know if it's going to happen, but don't be surprised if some of the witnesses take the fifth.
So let me see if I can practice this now. On advice of counsel, Your Honor and sir, the attorney, on advice of counsel, I plead the Fifth Amendment here as to not incriminate myself. How'd I do?
Correct.
How'd I do? Well,
you're pretty good. You might want to tutor some people for tomorrow.
I could get involved in Bridgeport politics. Lenny Grimaldi
might be listening right now.
Yeah, well, I know they do, because sometimes that's why they won't come on. Mayor Ganim, he's going to take the stand at one point. Did I read that?
Is he going to take the what?
Is he going to testify? Did I read that? He'll take the stand or not?
I have not heard anything about the mayor. He's been named as a defendant in this case.
Okay.
But I have not heard anything about the mayor being subpoenaed in this case. I don't know. That would be a leak, but somewhere.
I think there is. There might be. Hang on a second here, Lenny. Yes, this broke literally like 10 minutes ago. We're finding out about it now. Bridgeport Mayor Joe Ganim has been subpoenaed to testify in the case in the Superior Court. Yes. Now, when he will take the stand is uncertain. It may be tomorrow, but that's what Gomes' attorney William Bloss said. So there you go. So how do you think that might add a twist or turn to this, Lenny, if anything?
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, Bloss might want to put him on there and to say, like, what did you know about this or what did you know about that? And, you know, I don't know. I don't know where that's going to go. You know, that's going to be interesting. Here's the thing I'm wondering about. For me, the central question is, how long is this trial going to take?
Yeah.
And I think for me, the biggest question I do have, once these videos are introduced into evidence, and this is a new standard. This is the first time in this state's history anyways, where video is going to be used as central evidence to potentially overturn an election. And so Judge Clark has a decision to make. How much corroboration is he going to want to validate the videos, which are going to show a bunch of different political operatives dropping what appear to be absentee ballots into drop boxes? So is he going to want more validation, more corroboration, or will the videos stand on their own? Now, if this judge wants more detailed information to back up the videos, I think it's going to be a long trial. I mean, I think it's going to go weeks and weeks and weeks.
Wow.
And so I think probably, you know, Bill Bloss, the lead attorney for John Gomes, and Bloss is a very good lawyer, I think he's talking about 7 to 10 days to put on his case. And these things, you know, they very rarely actually, you know, the timeline you want is not always the timeline you're going to get because of a variety of different things that can come up. So, you know, you figure it's going to be 2 weeks for him to put on his case, potentially, because you got the weekend coming up after tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then starting Monday and Tuesday, you're 3 weeks out from the general election. So if he's going to take another week or 10 days after that, then you're starting to get close to the cusp of the general election. And then, you know, don't forget that the city has to defend this on behalf of all the defendants, as well as the Secretary of State's office, because they're named as a defendant as well.
Wow.
Because they certify the results, right? So they're named as well. And so my sense is this is probably going to go right up to the cusp of the general election, which is going to go forward. And then the next thing is whoever loses is going to appeal to the Connecticut Supreme Court.
Yeesh.
How long is that process going to take?
Yeah. Two words, Lenny, billable hours. Lots of billable hours for the lawyers.
Oh, my God.
My God. Hey,
you
I can't.
Know, federal law degrees.
Oh, my God. And I can't let you go without asking about your old boss, Mr. Trump, from years ago. He's getting hammered. They want to dissolve the Trump Corporation. He's fighting back saying, hey, these valuations are not fair because, you know, it's the tax assessor versus the real value. What is he thinking right now?
I think he's probably worried about death by a thousand cuts, but he's in, right? And he looks at life as one gigantic game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a game that he wants to win. And so it's, yeah, I think in some level you see some walls closing in here and there. He's still got a good chunk of the Republican base on his side. But, yeah, he's in a pretty tight pickle right now. And the point that you were making earlier for some of these other Republican candidates, and we've touched on this in the past, I mean, their mantra could very well be, and it's going to start soon with these polls, is, who can win a general election in the Republican Party?
Yep.
And that's going to be a narrative, you know, whether it's Nikki Haley or DeSantis or others are going to make because, yeah, I mean, you're talking about moderate voters. You know, someone like a Nikki Haley, she really is going to appeal to a moderate voter. She doesn't come across crazy, right? And there's a lot of craziness going on in the Republican Party right now.
Yeah.
So you think? So that's a narrative that could very well start sticking with Republican primary voters. But also, you know, some of these states that have open primaries, unaffiliated voters can participate.
Yeah,
I think a state like Michigan. So now there's this narrative where, hey, some of these unaffiliated voters, they can participate in these Republican primaries. Connecticut, we're shut down. We're a closed primary state. Only Republicans can vote. But a number of other states have open primaries where unaffiliates can play and really make a difference.
Interesting. All right. Listen, Lenny, thanks. I know you'll be watching the court proceedings tomorrow and in the next few days. So anything big, text me. Make sure my phone buzzes, okay?
You got it. Okay.
All right. Thanks, Lenny. Appreciate it. The blog only in Bridgeport.com, the world-famous one and only Lenny Grimaldi right here on WICC.